Welcome to the Successful Nurse Coach Podcast. On this podcast, Laura
and Shelby, both board-certified nurse coaches, show you how to make as much money as you want in private practice as a nurse coach.
Welcome to the Successful Nurse Coach. This is Laura here today, and I am hosting one of our master mentees that's just finishing up with year two with us. But I think you're at year three in your business, Jess.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you guys just an abbreviated introduction because we're going to dive deep into Jess's origin story. So I think you're going to get a real good feeling for who she is and kind of how she ended up where she is and her version of success. So this is Jessica McClellan. She is known as Jessica Ann on Facebook and Jessica Ann underscore co on Instagram. She is the owner creator of Jessica Ann Co. and Somatic Energetics. She's a sole purpose coach, Reiki master, energy medicine, and somatic practitioner and teacher. And of course, she is a nurse coach as well. And welcome, Jess, for finally us getting here.
I know. Yes. Yes. Thank you for having me. Finally, just divine timing. It had to play out this way. So we've been trying for what?
I mean, we've been rescheduling. Like, somebody's sick. I'm sick. This happened. My car broke down. It's like the universe is like, they'll be ready on this day and not anytime sooner.
Yeah.
So Jess, I think the way I wanted to kind of, we talked briefly before the episode, but we were talking about your journey. I mean, how you created your own emotional capacity. And I want to give the listeners, like, this is such a great opportunity here to hear the origin of how you were, what happened, how it happened, and how you are now. And I think this will be relevant to so many people listening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. So I'll try to pinpoint the major points here. There's a lot.
We have time. Yeah. I'll tell you to land the plane if I have to, but you're good about that.
Yeah. Well, you may have to because, man. Okay. So where I will start from is just kind of where I grew up and what that looked like for me. So I grew up in Missouri. I live in the Midwest. Essentially, a lot of my childhood, I was at my grandma and my grandpa's. And I'm probably going to talk about religion in here. So just religion trigger warning. It probably will be brought up just because it's part of my journey. But my grandma was very, very Catholic. My grandpa was just old school farmer, did not show any emotion. My grandma, you know, stayed home, took care of the kids. She didn't work. I mean, she did. I take that back. She did work, but it was very like part-time off and on for years. But I actually grew up with them for a long period of the time, or I was there every weekend, or my grandma was just my person as well. So I was there a lot. We went to a Catholic church. And the reason why I'm going into this is because I think it just plays a huge role in how my dad was raised and how his emotional capacity just was not there. Because my grandpa, you know, he's an old school farmer. He's 89 years old. If he asks me, he's like, how are you doing? Like, how is everything going? And I'll be like, oh, it's not so great, grandpa. Like, I'm just having a hard time. And he'll completely like bypass it because he just have that capacity to go there. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. It's just, you know, he's an old school farmer. They went out on the tractor to deal with their emotions and to be in nature. So the reason why I bring that up, like I said, it's because I know that's how my dad was raised too. So it just makes sense. Yeah. More of that generational impact. But, you know, my whole childhood, we did not show emotions. I thought it was weird. So my stepmom came in the picture when I was probably around 6 years old. My dad and my mom split up when I was, I think, 5. My mom had left. But so my stepmom comes in the picture around 6 years old and, you know, was wanting to like hug me and like tell me that she loved me and like just be emotional. And I was just like, ew. Don't touch me. This is weird. And it was normal for me though. Like we didn't, you know, we didn't say I love you. I think the last time that my dad said I loved you was probably when I was like 5 years old. Same with my mom too. I'm sure maybe there were some other times, but I just can't recall them where that came from. But fast forward throughout my whole childhood, it was the number one emotion that I really seen was just anger, honestly. Like, my dad's nervous system was so fried, I think, that that was the only emotion that he could like really process and like express. And I wouldn't say, guys, I did not have a bad childhood. I'm just saying, like, that is like a major emotion that just was there. I think everyone has anger. Yeah. It's normal. But I think it just plays so much into the role of, I had to have a wall put up, like, because I had a wall put up at a very young age. I didn't get, per se, the emotional safety that I desired or that I needed. I actually needed as a child. And so I had built up this really, really, really big wall, like hard wall, brick wall. So growing up, even in, I'm going to skip to my teenage years a little bit because that's another thing I've had to like dive in and, you know, heal. I was an asshole. I was a bitch. Like 100% bitch mode. Because I did not have the capacity to even go inward and like have empathy. I'm a very, very, very big empath. So I think that's another part of the story too, of that I did have to build up all of that because I'm a projector as well. I have very open defined centers. I'm very intuitive. I feel energy instantly. And I think that was just another mechanism that I just had to put into place, or I would be feeling everyone's shit all the time and probably be manic at this point if maybe I didn't have that. As a child. So I think there's, you know, the divine rule there of I needed all of those things to happen within my childhood just because I am so intuitive and so empathetic. So, and I have grace now for that. And I can look back at, this is actually probably the first time, Laura, that I am perceiving it this way now that we're talking and I'm like reflecting back on some things.
Yeah. It just makes so much sense. Like as an empath myself and like as a little girl, I think every empath has to learn how to shut it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just became a drug addict. That's how I did it. It was like, well, I feel better when I do drugs. So that's good. That works.
Yeah.
So totally empathic and then grew up in an environment where to survive, you had to wall off. Mm-hmm. That was your survival mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. 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 And then going forward and the pivotal point in my journey was when I got pregnant with my first son. And I had shoved away all of these emotions for 24 years of my life. And then I get pregnant and I feel this baby inside me. And it was just like a opening. There was an opening there.
Yeah.
To actually have to feel other feelings. And I wouldn't say, you know, I felt other feelings. I drank all the time. I partied all the time previously. I was a wild child, 100%. So I'm not saying I didn't feel the other feelings, but I didn't feel it at the level and the capacity that I felt it when I got pregnant because it was like that wall had been put up and then I got pregnant and there was a lot of emotions even going on within that pregnancy. And that's a whole nother podcast probably, but there was so much going on that it was like the floodgates had opened and the awakening had happened 100%.
Yeah. Oh, one of my first mentors, she was a Stanford attorney. So she graduated from Stanford and she was an attorney in LA. And when she became pregnant, she became psychic and had an awakening and her whole life was just flipped on up inside of its head and she couldn't go back and be an attorney anymore. Mm. And it just reminds me of that sometimes pregnancy is the moment that so much happens at once for so many women. And we don't talk about it in that way, but that's like so interesting that was such a pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you from that moment to going to your first Reiki class or being introduced to Reiki?
So I've always been into what they label witchier things. Crystals growing up, going out in nature, wanting to learn different herbs and make different potions as little kids. Like we did the whole thing.
Yeah.
My mom, I grew up and my mom is, you know, very much like what they label a green witch in many aspects. But we would like steal her books all the time and just like read them and do all the things. And then like I lost, you know, sight of that just growing up and going through my teenage years and, you know, finding not being myself in so many ways. And, you know how it goes. But
yeah,
it was during when I had gotten pregnant, like I had always been in, like spirits always came to me. It was always in my realm. Like I always wanted to read books, or when somebody would talk about talking to spirit or talking to, you know, angels, or, you know, talking to their grandma or whatever that may be, it always was there. It always like intrigued me of like, that yeah. is so cool. How the heck do you do that? Like that's amazing. I want to know how to do that. So I've always had that there. Yeah. But when I got pregnant, it was such a awakening moment, but it was still such a suffering moment. Like I had so many emotions and so many feelings going through me. So when I was pregnant, it actually came to me. My friend May was doing it here in Kansas City. And this was probably, I didn't book a session when I was pregnant. I just wasn't ready for that just yet. It just wasn't time, but it was probably about 6 months after I had Gannon, my first son. And then I went in and seen this because she had talked about, you know, it can heal so much. And the reason why I went in is because she can talk to guides. And that was really like the main reason why I was like, what is this? Like, I had no idea what Reiki was, had no idea what energy was. Even though I was a nurse and we had been taught these things, but we was not taught at the capacity that I feel like we should have been taught. But
right.
I was just like, I don't even know what this is. Kind of like with the Nurse Coach Collective. I don't know what the fuck this is, but I'm just going to go do it. And I did. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that I, other than pregnancy, obviously, and other than pushing a baby out, but that was painful. Liberating at the same time, but painful. But I think it was the first time even that I had noticed different sensations in my body throughout like a guided meditation that she was doing with me and like moving the energy. It was really like the first time that I actually felt different sensations and felt the magic. That's the best way to explain it. It was just like things moving and shifting internally. Now, I didn't have like a huge mindset awakening and like a huge like thing right after. I was like, oh, okay, that was cool. You know, like that was cool. It was about a week later when I started to notice things shift in my brain. I was a very negative person. So that's another valid like point I should bring up. I was very, very negative, like very, very like I can't even believe looking back. I'm like, holy balls. Like, how did I do anything? I was so negative.
She loved that. Don't you love to look back at younger Jess and be like, oh, she was trying so hard.
Yes. At her. Yes. 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 But looking back, I know it's just because I was in fight or flight constantly, you know, like it was very driven. Yeah. Like it's just, that's just how it was. And that's okay. A week later, I just had noticed such a huge, like, something breaking in that negativity and that pattern. And I was like, oh, this is, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to keep doing it. And then that just started my whole journey, my whole awakening journey of coming back to my truth and who I am. So that's the short / kind of long version, but short version.
Well, I think a lot of listeners are going to listen to your story and resonate with so many parts of it. I think that we had talked about this earlier before we recorded, but that a lot of nurses who take Reiki or healing touch or therapeutic touch or like these other modalities, and then you don't really think of it as something that you're going to make in the center of your life. It's like this mm-hmm, thing you go mm-hmm. do once in a while. And then you'll find that something like the Nurse Coach Collective, you go through or you'll go through a coaching certification and you start doing this healing work with others. And then you're trying to figure out, well, I also do energy work, but I can't do that here. Or that's going to be weird. Or can you share more about how you take energy work or these different modalities, somatic work, we'll get into that later, and coaching, and how you were able at some point to combine the two and not have to worry about it anymore? Or I struggle with this too. So
I've been doing Reiki a lot longer than I've been doing coaching, but I feel like Reiki prepped me so well for coaching just because of the emotional and energetic standpoint that's there. So it's just allowed me to even expand my coaching skills like way beyond and faster than I probably would have ever been able to doing it the opposite way. Yeah, when I got my coaching certification, probably what, 4 years ago now, I think 3.5, 4 years ago, there was a moment because I still was so much in fight or flight, just going through everything that I was still going through. I was working night shift and as an on-call hospice nurse, and then I was up all day with the babies and the two kids, and then I was doing my certification on top of that. So,
right.
I focused so much on the coaching aspect in the beginning just because I had to learn those skills. So I think there is a time frame where you do have to focus a lot,
yes,
like on those skills and those coaching skills. And then there comes a time where it's like, oh, okay, I feel like I'm ready to bring other things in. And for me,
yes,
it was, okay, I'm going to separate the two just a little bit. Now, reflecting back, I would do like, you know, 15 minutes of Reiki at the end with a meditation. So I would integrate it in with my meditations. And then it just started to evolve from there, honestly. Like, I can't tell you exactly like how it shifted and pivoted, but I do recall there being like a good 3 to 6 months where I was focusing heavily just on coaching skills and building my coaching skills. And then I was able to kind of bridge in the Reiki and combined those pieces.
Yeah.
And I did keep Reiki separate too. I would either offer like a Reiki session or I would offer a coaching session. But it wasn't until, it was probably 3 years ago. Well, I suck at time. I'm like trying to time travel here. Maybe 2.5, 2 years ago when I got really comfortable with my channeling skills and more of like my mediumship skills and being able to channel in messages for people during Reiki and during coaching sessions. But I think it was just, you do have to separate them for a little bit. And then when you feel called to just integrate in slowly, and then that's your unique medicine, you know, that's your uniqueness that you get to, yeah, bring into your practice. So it's very, very like individualized. That's the best way that I can frame it. And I use other, yeah, tools too. Like I use somatic tools. I use, you know, card pulls for my people. I use muscle testing. We do body talk. There's, you know, so many other modalities that I kind of bridge in and use, but it's very specific for your client too, of like, what are they needing and what's in my toolbox that I can integrate into this session. It's very, very, very divinely guided. I trust God 100% when I'm in my sessions, and I let God lead through me and my client's higher self. I let them channel through me, and I just kind of bring in what they are needing at this point. But that took, yeah, me a long time to get there.
Well, it's even as you're sharing that, I'm reflecting on my journey as well. And we go to nurse coach certification. It's like tied to your profession. It's like, it's like through the medical system, like we're being board certified. There was this element of like, all of Laura can't show up here.
Yeah.
It's just the professional Laura has to show up here. Mm-hmm. And I know, and as a newbie, you're just like, well, this is all okay, this set of ways that I serve. But if I go outside of that, I'm not being a nurse anymore. And that's actually kind of dangerous. And that's kind of weird and woo. And mm-hmm. then I remember thinking, well, screw it. I'm not even going to call myself a nurse coach. I'm going to just be something totally different because I want the freedom. I want the freedom to do whatever I want with whatever client. And then I realized at some point, like, that was all my own. It was all my own internal construct. You can do whatever you desire with whatever client, with whatever tools and skills that you have. And it can be divinely guided. It can be organic. It can be made up on the spot. It can be your own version of energy work. And if your intentions are good, there's a few guidelines that you follow, but you're not going to come out of your scope. That is all within your scope.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that so interesting? Like, I don't think I realized we have this very large scope as a nurse coach, and I had made it mean something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah. I went through the exact, yeah, same stages that you did. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So it's like, full on, I'm a nurse coach, put that hat on, I'm going to get good at this, which I think, you know, we both experienced this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of other people I've mentored with similar trajectories. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's necessary, like you said.
Yeah, it is necessary.
Get really good at coaching. Yeah. And then everyone's like, but I want freedom. I want to like have the freedom that non-nurses have. So I played there, and then I'm like, no, that's all made up. Like, I can't, my practice, my nursing practice has so much freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And that's why, you know, yes, I'm what people label as woo, but I'm also professional. So I had to dabble. I've had to dabble in that so much. And even like the last 2 years, pretty heavily, like I was like, I can't be woo and be professional. And I know,
right,
there's so many others, because all of the woo nurse coaches come to me. All of the woo, even women, they're like, how do you integrate in between these two realms? And, you know, the best thing that I can do is guiding me back to my truth and what's true for me. And that the same with, you know, other coaches and other nurse coaches, anyone who's like dabbling in between those two realms. It's just like, well, what is true for you here? And how do you want to create that? Stop creating your reality on these external beliefs that are there. How do we go within and create from there? And it's just the layering, you know, the layering that we both have had to rip off and then come back to as well. So it's a process.
And I think that's the entrepreneurial journey too. I think that the trajectory of the entrepreneur is like, well, I have an idea, some construct that I've created from probably watching other people or my own conditioning of what a successful entrepreneur looks like, acts like, talks like, bees like, posts like, takes pictures like, walks like, dresses like, right? Like some version of that is present for everybody. And then in this work, as you become more embodied, as you unpeel, if you're doing the work alongside of your clients that you're helping, some point, you know, it's all BS, and any limitation in your way of being or what services you provide are all on you. There's infinite freedom here.
Yeah.
I see that. I mean, I think that I see nurse coaches drop into this at the end of year two, into year three. Rarely do I see it within the first 18 months. Not that it can't be done. But I would say doing sessions as an energy healer and doing sessions as a medium before becoming a coach really helped me be a coach, because it helped. And so for a lot of you out there that have Reiki certifications or have taken other modalities, massage therapists, even, like, there's so much we can build on top of the skills that we have, but we find that everybody kind of needs to focus on just their coaching skills when they first get out of cert, if that's what they want to be.
Yeah.
And they all kind of come together, and then you just, it's all made up.
Yeah,
it's all made up.
Yeah. It is, yes.
Jess, what are you most proud of? Like, when I know you have lots of transitions happening in your life right now, but like, and I know I've watched you for a long time, so I'm really proud of you, but what are you most proud of now?
For honoring myself.
How so?
It's been a long journey of people pleasing, of not having my own energetic boundaries and standing in my own truth, and honoring myself and my boundaries and what's there. And I can elaborate. I'll probably need to elaborate, you know, but not everybody else knows. But
yeah,
you know, there's that part too, since I'm a really big empath, and if you follow Human Design, great. If not, cool. It's just another tool that I like to use for validation. Actually, it's a great validator. Yeah. But I do have so many open centers within my body. I have I only have two defined centers, and it's up here. So I have very, very big openness. So I feel a lot of other people, but I can intuitively, and this isn't, I didn't know I was doing this previously until I've learned just advanced energy medicine and some advanced, you know, techniques, and had awareness around what was actually going on. I can tap into somebody else's energy and think it's mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So being in a relationship that I've been in for the last 10 years and being able to tap into other people's higher selves and having hope is one thing that I can see other people's higher selves very well and very defined. But sometimes that overrules like my energetic boundaries of like what's there for me. So that's probably the biggest thing I've been proud of, is me being able to unlayer myself and come back to my true self and my authentic self, and what desires do I want, and what do I want out of this life, and how do I want to be treated. without pulling in somebody else's energy and tapping into their energetic field. And I feel like for a long time, I had a hard time knowing, is that mine or is that theirs? Like, what am I feeling?
Yes. Here? Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
So many nurses have this too. I mean, so many nurses are empathic and sensitive, and this will make so much sense to all of them. I feel like I didn't do what you just described until I was about 36 or 37. And it was like night and day. It was like before I had come into my own, I would look at other people and just wonder, like, how do you do life? Like, how do you seemingly just like go to the grocery store and operate and go to sleep at night and not experience what I'm experiencing? It was really difficult. And when I learned what was mine and not mine, it was like, oh, this is so much easier. This is how you do life. For me, it was that big. It was like, if I walked into a room of 100 people and one person was upset, I would immediately know who it was. And my whole experience would be not sure if I was upset or if it was somebody else that was upset.
It's been a complete game changer. And I feel like I've been doing it a little bit here and there, but it really didn't hit me probably until like even 6 months ago. Like the fullness of it, like the full effect of it. Really didn't hit all the way until then. That's what, and I'm most proud of just the past versions of myself and just my past self of getting me to the journey that I'm on now. You know, I did another podcast a couple weeks ago with a nurse entrepreneur who is super successful. And she's like, well, what was the number one thing? Like when you were a nurse and you were just doing normal, quota, day-to-day life. Well, was there something that was there? Because there's not a lot of super successful, even entrepreneurs, like, because it's hard. It is hard. And that's okay that it's hard. And I said, I just knew I was meant for more. I knew deep down in my bones, I knew I was meant for more and I was going to make it happen no matter what. I didn't have another choice. I don't have another choice to go back to bedside nursing, to go back to my previous life. That's just not an option for me at all. Right. So I'm actually really proud of myself and my past through everything that I went through, 100%. All of the fight or flight moments, the working three jobs and coaching. I was doing that 2 years ago, even when Ethan and I, my husband.
With small children.
Yeah, with small children. Like I was working 7 days a week plus coaching because my coaching business, my dream, my desire, I wasn't giving up on it. I was like, I'll do whatever the hell I got to do. But I was learning nervous system regulation. And that was the key factor through all of that-ness because I still had a lot of moments where I was present and I was regulated. But there was a part of me that I just knew I had to do this. And this is just what it is. How do I shift and how do I accommodate to what I know I got to do? So I'm really proud of that too, because I did. It was a lot of, it was a lot of fucking hard work. It was a lot of hard work to get to where I am.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you reflect that way. Cause I think that is similar to how my beginnings were. And I don't know, like, Jess, do you think this is a really interesting question? I'll be so curious to hear your answer and I'll share for me. If I go back to starting my coaching business where my husband was gone half of the year as a fire captain, I had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and I was doing workshops once a month. I was living, breathing, obsessively doing coaching while simultaneously doing so many other things and working, and albeit not a lot, whoever she was for those first 2 years of startup, I don't know that I could do that again.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, do you think you could go do it again?
I don't think so. No, I think it was a one and done.
But I think so too. I think whatever that was, because I psychically knew my husband was going to get fired. And so I subconsciously, it wasn't a choice. It was as if it was happening to me and I was just obeying whatever it was. Yeah. And it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't comfortable ever, really. It wasn't really ever comfortable.
I think that's the same for me too. There was that subconscious thing, knowing that my marriage was not going to work out. Like, I knew that. And so there was that part that
you were just preparing subconsciously.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, as me and Jess sit here and talk to you about first 2 years of entrepreneurship, it's worth it. It's 100% worth it. Mm-hmm. Like the life you have now, Jess, like you do your practice full time, you pick your kids up from school. I mean, we talked about this over and over again, what your dream was, and you're literally living what your dream is right now. Your financial goals you've met and exceeded. Mm-hmm. Your impact you've met and exceeded. You are transitioning into building your dream home probably sometime this year. And so like being able to watch you from being your coach or just being around you for the last 3 years, like it's all worth it, like 100%. And so I guess from that point, like I could say we probably would do it again. It's just a different hard now than it was like those first 2 years. Like I really, for those of you in the thick of it, we feel, just trust, just don't quit, just keep going. It's go through the eye of the needle, It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. I would not shift or change anything at all, because it has led me to what I'm doing. And one day, and I can offer this piece to everyone, is one day it just clicks. It does just click. And then I'm like, oh, this is it.
Totally. Right. Yeah. I try to think of like any other way that you can, any other analogy, but it's so true. It's like that when you least expect it, you wake up one day and you kind of, you're like, oh, I know how to make money as a coach and I have a successful business. It's happened. But up until that point, it is like, you don't really know what you're doing. It is fully imposter syndrome. Like you're just going through the actions. You're doing so much work, making so little money. Reveling we're like bonding over the hardness of that. It's also beautiful to go through that.
Yeah, it is. I was actually just on a call yesterday with someone, and we were actually talking about this exact thing, and it just finding the joy during the journey and the growth during the journey is what saved me many times from not wanting to just, there's many times, even like throughout the last year, there's many times where I just wanted to call you and Shelby and be like, fuck it, I'm done. Like, I'm not coming to any more calls. I'm done. So many times, but I got over it. When you get to that moment, like you've learned, especially, it's like, okay, I'm going to take a day and I'm not going to do a damn thing. And I'm just going to, I'm going to step away for the day. And then usually, even 4 hours later, I'm like, I'm fine. Like, let's do it. I got it.
Yeah, shocker. It's weird. I feel different today. That's so strange. I was so certain yesterday this is I was going to feel that way forever.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, I know a little bit about the course that you're launching, the certification you're working on. I know that I'm not exactly what sure this is airing, what date this is airing yet. But can you tell us a little bit about that, and the name of it and kind of what you do in it and kind of why you're so passionate about it?
Yeah. I've always had this itch for teaching. Like I love to guide, and I'm a projector obviously as well, as you guys know, but my purpose here is to really guide others on whatever that may be for them. But I love energy and somatic work. That's probably why I was a nurse too, just because I love the educational piece of the human anatomy and why XYZ does XYZ and why we work and function the way that we function. So I told Shelby, I think it was our first call actually at the beginning of this year. And Shelby was like, okay, 5 years from now, what do you want to see? Like, what's your vision? What's your big dream for 5 years? And I was like, I'm going to have a certification. Back then I wanted to make it the Somatic Coach Academy. But I was like, I will have a certification of some sort in 5 years. And speed up, that manifested very fast.
Yeah.
it came very fast.
Yeah, you spoke it out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just clicked one day. And I think it was I've been formulating this for a long time, actually, honestly, for like,
yes,
probably even over 2 years. This has been like a making in the progress. And it's just been like little pieces like here and there of like, what would work good? What do I really like to teach on? What's here? But long story short is it just clicked probably about, probably 6 months ago, I had it click a little bit. And then even a month ago, I just had it really click, like really, really click. Like, yeah. I remember it was after one of our one-on-ones, and it was on our one-on-ones. And I was like, no, I had this vision yesterday. Like, I had this vision of this is what it's called. This right. is what it's going to be. And I'm completely shifting to this space, which it is just the becoming a somatic energy practitioner. So that encompasses, you know, somatic work, which there is a huge, huge, profound like apocalypse around somatic work. You guys, right. somatic work is body work. It's coming back home to the body. This has been around for ancient years. It's been around so long,
yeah.
but it's people remembering who they are. And that is the core concept of somatic and energy work and Reiki. Reiki, the core essence of Reiki is coming back to your true self and de-shedding everything that we have gotten embedded with for, you know, all the,
yeah.
Ooh, what's the word I'm looking for? All the beliefs.
Conditioned.
That are not ours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the core concept.
Soma means body, right? Yeah. So mm-hmm. Soma, the meaning of soma is body. And coaching, you know, like traditional transactional coaching, a lot of what we learn in nurse coaching school is all intellectual.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah. it's right. And that's important. It's you can't, that's part of who we are. And then somatics is like bringing in more. And so what's mm-hmm. so cool is with like these deeper modalities, with coaching and the deeper modalities, when somebody comes to you, you can play in both areas.
Yeah.
I think that's what gives people superpowers. I think that being totally as a body worker or just able to work within those energetic bodies is you have a disadvantage when you don't have coaching training. And I yeah. think you have a disadvantage with coaching if you aren't doing some of the deeper modalities with mm-hmm. it. Like there's plenty of coaches that have completely transactional careers and they're successful. There's plenty of energy medicine and Reiki practitioners that do it part-time, but rarely will you find somebody that can do both well and knows how to deploy both in service to their client when it's called for as things emerge. I think that makes you really unique.
And, yeah. yeah. I've been in the trauma healing realm too. So when I first started, I went really deep into the intellectual part of trauma. And I played in that realm because, yeah, that was a core concept and a core piece. So really, it's just been me seeing the gap and coaching and yes. actually healing trauma and having sustainable healing. We have to have the mind, the body, the spirit, and the soul. I incorporate all four modalities yeah. within this work because we're whole beings. We have to incorporate the spiritual aspect. And
yes.
I don't care if that's God, universe, source. I don't care. As long as there's some, you know, connection there. So it's actually building the connection with all four elements within us. That makes yeah. it so sustainable for healing trauma. And y'all, everyone has trauma. I'm sorry, but you are not trauma proof. You know, self-limiting beliefs are yeah. a form of trauma because trauma is an energetic blockage or stagnancy within the nervous system when we look at it from that standpoint. So everybody has trauma and we're just learning how to live life with that. But it's more about the sustainability aspect. You know, I've had many, many clients. Even I love this lady was my favorite client. Like, I'm not going to lie. She's probably 60 something years old, but we were just doing Reiki. And I was actually in the beginning stages of when I was incorporating Reiki into coaching. And she yeah. had said after our first session, she's like, this is the best session I've ever had, even with my 19 years of therapy and being re-traumatized every single time and having to tell my story every single time. She was like, this is so profound, even this one session that
week. Oh, yeah.
And
so cool.
Yes. Yeah. Even with another lady, she was a bipolar. I work a lot in the mental health realm because spiritually, we know that it's not them. It's not their core self when we look at it yeah. from a spiritual aspect and a spiritual lens. But same thing with her. She's like, I've been to AA. I've been to, you know, the 12-step program. I've been to all the things, because she had alcoholism and drug addiction as well. And same thing. She's like, this is the best fucking session I've ever had that I even got out of all of those programs. And I'm like, yeah, because we're looking at it from all the lenses, not just one.
Yes. But also, Jess, you couldn't have done that if you hadn't done all the work.
Yes. 100%.
Like, we can only take our clients as deep as we've gone ourselves. So like newbie coach Laura or newbie energy healer Laura, yes, she made profound impact with her clients, but then embodying and doing all the work ourselves, like it just deepens and creates set opportunities for healing moments.
Yeah. I'm in certifications left and right. Like I still invest.
Yeah.
That's my growth, because we're student for life.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, 5 years into the coaching game, we'll end on this soon. I know we're getting long here. But 5 years, 6 years into the coaching game, every cert you take, every book that you read, every type of healing that you do, the coaches that you hire, all of it at this point is you're looking for like another 0.5%. Mm-hmm. Like it's so interesting, right? It's like, I will never stop spending money because I want to get another like 0.5% of depth of awareness, of embodiment, of essence to work with, to serve with. And I just, you know, 10% of my income goes to healers and coaches and programs. Okay. And that's just a business expense. That's just going to always be a business expense. I know you're the same. It's like, okay, what am I doing next? Awesome. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your personal story and having this kind of interview, because I feel like it would have been helpful for me to hear an interview like this when I had graduated cert, because there was nothing like this. And I didn't know that I could be woo-woo Laura and medium Laura and energy healing Laura and whatever Laura I was that year, that I could be her as a nurse coach, unvarnished, unfiltered, and that would be really potent and magical. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you're kind of giving people an idea of what it looks like to be a professional coach that makes great money, that has, I think you have a waiting list at this point for clients, mm-hmm. Doing exactly what you want to do, not trying to be professional or fit into any box and changing it as you go and changing the rules as you go with how spirit guides you.
Yeah.
So cool. Thanks for being here. Jess's information is going to be in our show notes. Sorry for cutting you off there. We have a little bit of a lag, but Jessica's information is going to be in our show notes. We're going to have her website, her socials. You can definitely go check her out there. I know that at the time of this, she probably will be close to full for her certification program. But if you can and you're interested in that, go check it out there now. I'm sure she'll be running another one next year. This is just her first run through. And thanks you guys so much for listening to us. See you in the Facebook group. And Jess, thanks. I'm so glad we finally got here.
Wow. Me too. Today. Thank you for having me. It was a great conversation to even me reflect back on many things. So yes, thank you.
It's like a little mini coaching call. Look at us. Look at us. All right. Bye guys.